Hare Krishna, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
My dear devotees, first of all, Danuda Swami has copies of the Hari Lila Prakash written by Sri Damodar Bahulanath, ready and will sell them. Yes or no? I have been requested to make a thought-stimulating announcement, and I hope I've done it. Yesterday, there is no Hari Lila Prakash. There is no Sri Damodar Bahulanath. It was a drama. So, many devotees have asked, can we obtain a copy of Light on the Leela of Lord Hari, Hari Leela Prakash, but it was a dramatical device only which existed on the artful stage of theater as its only reality. So I was requested to announce, because there are many nectar hunters like me who, when they hear a new book, they go like, ooh, where do I get it? It is not available, but maybe in yours, by following the instructions of Manak Shiksha, you will one day be qualified to with the light of your consciousness, see the Hari Lila directly before your eyes. And this is where I would like to enter today's presentation. Up till now, we have been quite We have heard an overview and we have heard high concepts. In this presentation, I do try to bring you to a few practical foundational understandings of practicing the instructions of Mana Shiksha. Now I would first of all like to summarize yesterday's the ending part of yesterday's class, and then take you on a very hopefully relevant and enriching a seminar which will teach you a few skills in your devotional practices as you are applying the instructions of the first verse. Namaste Girirajaya Shri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Vakti Vedanta Swami Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavadi Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Raghunadas Goswami has instructed us to, first of all, develop rati, or love for Sri Gurudev and Sri Brajadham. He has said this is possible when one has given up pride, and therefore the foundational practice of is to apply Trinadapi Sunichena. In one's daily life. We will hear more about this. But I really want to say, because we are now in Braj, we want to now know how to act in Braj so that we can avoid the offenses and develop love. Braj Dham is transcendental, but it takes on a form as if it is material. You can see Braj Dham. You can dig your hand in the ground and you have dust or earth in your hand, like any other place in nature. But let us not be deceived. Braj is almost like the Paramatma, the super soul, who descends into a human body, who's there in a heart, who's there with us, but remains always transcendental. So, although Braj or Vrindavan has come here to us and we can touch it, we can take the dust and rub it on our foreheads and everywhere else where we please, we should always understand this Dham is essentially transcendental and therefore is able to give us transcendental benefit, just like the Lord in the heart. And although he is with us here in the heart, you can approach him and you can make a spiritual connection. Braj Dham has been called Chintamani Dham. Chintamani means whatever your thoughts, chinta means thoughts, touch, that becomes a reality. Just like an ordinary touchstone, let us take, this is a touchstone, let us say this is a touchstone. When it touches iron, it turns the iron into gold. So Braj will turn your thoughts into reality. Therefore, be careful what you desire while you are in Braj. Concentrate on your sublime desires, not on the desires which you develop when you look down on the ladder and so on. You must be very careful. Also, material desires can be fulfilled by Braj. Just like when you chant, the holy name is another chintamani, a touchstone which fulfills thoughts. If you have material thoughts, you will see, and if you focus your mind while you chant on material thoughts, they will get nourishment and will be filled. It's amazing. This is called when you are inattentive and wander, it's called namaparat, and namaparat will actually work on fulfilling your material desires, your material entanglement. It's somehow scary. Therefore, as we will learn a little bit later, you have to learn to chant in a special way, and I want to invite you, because I feel already the pangs of intense separation from some of you. Come to the Japa retreat, if possible this year, if not possible next year. It's coming right after this, where you will learn to orient your mind and your chanting in such a way that you will go up the ladder and not down. Why have so many people who have chanted the Hare Krishna mantra gone down the ladder to material desires? Because they didn't have the proper orientation. I heard that Stephen Jobs, do you know who Stephen Jobs? I heard there are only two sects in this world, the Macintosh sect and the Apple computer sect. Is it the same? Same sect. Microsoft. What is the alternative? What are the two sects? Apple computer, Apple sect, and Microsoft sect. Yes, computer. This is computer knowledge. Stephen Jobs is the founder of one of these sects. He has, I believe, made this very best-selling invention of the Apple computer, and he says in his biography and in a lecture that he was a pot washer in the Boston Temple who was chanting, but I think he was not chanting with a proper mental orientation. His mind touched wealth, and as he chanted, he became one of the most wealthy person in the world. Vrindavan, let us stay with the Dham, is a spiritual entity here in this world. And it is a Chintamani Dham, that means whatever you touch with your thoughts, it will be fulfilled, paying. And a good example of this from Chaitanya Charitamrita is Madhavendra Puri. You know, after he had completed his Govardhan Parikrama, he sat down under a tree at Govindakund, and he chanted more of his rounds with the intense desire, "Oh Krishna, where are you?" Then a little boy came marching out of the dam with a pot of milk and said, "You are hungry. You are so much absorbed in your chanting that you have forgotten to do madhukari or begging. Here is your milk. In my village, no one goes hungry." Madhavendra Puri drank the milk and became ecstatic and had only one thought: when will the boy again come to me? When will I see that cowherd boy who brought the milk for me? When, oh when? The boy had said he would fetch the empty milk pot at the end of the night, but at the end of the day, at the beginning of the night. But no matter how much Madhavendra Puri yearned for his vision, the coward boy didn't come. Madhavendra Puri was heart-stricken. He chanted and chanted and chanted. He couldn't go to bed, and he had only one thought: this boy, this boy, this boy. Early in the morning hours, he dozed off, and there in his dreams, he had again a meeting with that boy. He said, "I am here, just next to you. I am for a long time in the ground. I'm buried here, and I'm so hungry. I've waited for you, Madhavendra Puri, to render me service and give me milk. Now, I've come to you during the day to give you milk. Now I want milk from you." Next morning, take some bridge passes and dig at such and such spot, and you will find me, and then install me and worship me. So Madhavendra Puri was ecstatic, but it was very dark in the night. Govinda Kund is very dark. Even now it's very dark in the night. He waited for the morning, otherwise his ecstasy would have made him run after Krishna. In the morning he went with some bridge passes from Anjor to dig up the earth, and he saw a little finger, and they dig more, the whole hand became exposed, and the beautiful deity of Gopal, who has the hand like this. Do you know what this hand means? It means two things. He lifted the Govardhan hill, but that was for some time. He put it also down. But why does the deity always have the hand still up? Why didn't he put it down? With his hand, he does this movement. Come, come, come to me. And he has another hand, which goes like this. And surrender to my lotus feet. Come, come. Why are you wasting your time? Come to me. Surrender to my lotus feet. This is an example where Brajdham has manifested Krishna to one devotee. I want to ask you now to turn to your neighbor. No, wrong. I want to ask you now to turn to your notebook. Because what you will do now will be highly revelatory. You will write down something which you may be shy to tell to your neighbor. My question to you is, what you will apply is the technique which was introduced by our teacher Burijan Prabhu, free writing. Free writing means you take your pen, you take a piece of paper. It's your pen. I will give it to you. It was here. I didn't steal it. But I remember it. You had it last year also, same pen. You take your pen and you write on this question. And even, my dear devotees, if at the moment only, I don't know, I'm dull, I'm tired, I don't like this writing exercises, and when will be prasadam, you know. Just keep on writing, moving, and something good will come, because this technique called free writing will open a door to an area in your heart which knows more than your conscious mind knows. Your subconscious mind will be stimulated and wonderful things might come up. So are you ready for the free writing? Yes. Please, Gaurahari, your yes was the loudest. Bring this pen to Burijan Prabhu. Yes, it comes. Free writing topic. What spiritual gifts has Vrindavan Dham given to you? We look for an experience, something where we felt the Dham supported our spiritual quest. Quest means search. You have 5 minutes time. Thank you very much. You might like to reflect on this more and more. And if you feel your experiences are not as frequent as you wish them to be, you must now listen very attentively to this class. You know, to go to Vrindavan or to stay in Vrindavan means to come to a certain readiness to give up the world of matter and to enter into our relationship to Krishna. In his book Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur has given us many meditations how we can approach Vrindavan. And I personally do these meditations, leave the material universe, cross the great Brahman effulgence, pass by Vaikuntha, and then you will see an inconceivable red lotus flower enter there. There under a Kalpa Briksha tree, you will see the divine couple, Shriman Rasa, no, Divya Dvrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha, Shrimad Ratnagara Singhasanasto. And then it enters really in a typical Gaudiya Vaishnav meditation that which we have in our prayers, where we say, there under this divine Kalpa Briksha tree is a throne, and on the throne you find the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. This class is preparing us for this meditation, which we will do at the end of the class. We will do it practically. But for the beginning, it is very important that you are ready when you enter the Dham to accept that there is something beyond the Drishtaman Dham, the Dham which you see with your eyes. There is an Aprakat Dham, that is a dimension of the Dham which is purely spiritual. And it's very important that you have at least this theoretical faith in you. If you ever desire to go beyond the world of spirit and matter, then engage your mind without deviation at the feet of Sri Krishna, the enchanter of everyone's mind. Do not live in a place filled with materialistic people. Always live in Vrindavan and offer obeisances to all the residents of Vrindavan, so that you may not commit any offense to them. This is the advice of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Always live in Vrindavan. When I and think of Krishna. When first this book Vrindavan Mahimamrita came out, we were in the Heidelberg Temple, preachers, and we used to meet under the radar screen of our GB at that time. We had a GBC at that time. We also have now a GBC, but a very interesting individual as a GBC, very talented in many ways. and very forcefully preaching the preaching movement. I'm extremely indebted to him. But we read this book. It was almost forbidden literature. You know, run to Vrindavan. And if your guru tells you, don't go to Vrindavan, disobey the order of your guru, you know. The book of Prabhupada Sarasvati is very forcefully saying, run to Vrindavan, do this. And if any other thought enters your mind, except for living in the Dham, you have to somehow, you know, if someone tells you, don't go to Vrindavan, cut out his tongue, it has something like this. I don't know if I repeat properly. It is force. And so on. But but then I spoke with my GBC about it. I said, I want to run to Vrindavan. I've read now for 7 nights these books, and I'm convinced. He said, but what is about the preaching mission? And then he very kindly alerted me to a lecture which Prabhupada had given. It was a lecture where I was actually present. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan Dham, addressed all of us pilgrims. We were with a big group of German Sankirtan devotees there. Amongst them was many, many notable names. I think many of the glorious book distributors were there, Hari, all these big names. So, and then we were, it was the goodbye lecture. Next day, our airplane would take us from Delhi to back to Europe. Prabhupada looked at us, and I told this many times, he asked us, so how did you like Vrindavan? And we all said, very much, Prabhupada, but we cried because we had to leave Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is not a point on the map. You know, like you can take a map and then there's Agra, there's Delhi, and somewhere there's Vrindavan. It's a state of consciousness. So most of us will be leaving Vrindavan, but Mana Shiksha tells us, don't leave Vrindavan in your consciousness. This means you first have to bring Vrindavan into your consciousness, and so on. Here is some meditations. Now, here's some instructions for you. When you have to leave Vrindavan, but you don't want to leave Vrindavan consciousness, Prabhupada Sarasvati tells us, a person who laments his own misfortune for residing at other places and thus constantly meditates without deviation on the sweet abode of Vrindavan, which is decorated with enchanting groves in which Sri Radha and Krishna enjoy their pastimes, hath nothing to fear. The two effulgent personalities, Radha and Krishna, are always anxious to meet that person. I see one devotee who is almost asleep, so I will tell it a little bit more clear. My dear devotees, Vrindavan, we have learned, is a place in consciousness. It's a place where Radha and Krishna meet. It's the place in Krishna consciousness. So when you can't live in this place, either physically or conscious-wise, when you can't live on that level where you feel the Radha and Krishna in your consciousness, then lament, oh, I'm so fallen. And if Radha and Krishna see you lamenting for either leaving Vrindavan Dham or leaving Vrindavan consciousness, they are anxious to meet that person. Haribo. When you see the Manipuris who go to Radhakund for the month of Kartik, leaving Radhakund and going into their shabby buses where a normal person has a doubt they will drive even for 20 meters. They are so old, the buses. You know, all the Manipuri Vaishnavas cry and cry. We leave Radhakund. Cry, cry. You go, really cry. Manipuris are a little bit like Jaini Thai from Assam. They have a face like a very, very, a little bit reserved, and but very cultured, and you don't know what is going on behind this face. But when the Manipuri Vaishnavas leave Radhakund, you know what is going on. Oh, they have so much attachment to stay at Radharani's place, Radhakund, and they cry. So, my dear devotees, when you leave Vrindavan, cry! Or when you leave that state of consciousness where you feel separated from Radha and Krishna, then cry. And Radha and Krishna will be very anxious. I must meet this person. Now, before I continue, I have to turn now to the microphone person. I have the feeling it is not loud enough. Is it loud enough? Because then I find myself screaming, and that usually means I have... You can hear. You can hear.
You make it a little louder.
Prabodhananda Saraswati gives a meditation about a subject of Vaishnava orientation which Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses in his Secrets on Bhajan, Bhajan Rahasya. He talks about the self-identification of a practicing Vaishnava. When you practice spiritual life, your self-identification should not be, I'm a man or I'm a woman or I'm a German or I'm a Yugoslavian. Your self-identification should be, I'm a spiritual servant of Krishna. From this place you can do sadhana, but not when your consciousness is in the forest of upadis, false designations. So he, there, and thank you very much. Now I can speak normally in the normal. When you want to do sadhana, Bhajan Rahasya advises us that we feel, that we meditate. This is a beautiful picture, that we sit in Vrindavan on one of these pathways and we pray to Radha and Krishna, oh Radha and Krishna, I'm your lost servant. If you come by here, please come by here and just pick me up and bring me to the place where I can do service for you. Huh? It's of course a little advanced, I know, but if you feel you are on a level, so get the principle of what I'm saying. Yes, this prayer, which is prayed in Bhajan Rahasya, is to Radha Rani. Please, I'm your lost maidservant. I have lost you totally. Please come and pick me up. I'm here on the path of Vrindavan. Please come by and just pick me up. This is a prayer which I would like to translate into the level where I am, and where maybe you feel you can identify with this. Ayinanda tanuya kinkaram. I am your lost servant. I have fallen into the material universe. I'm now drowning in an ocean. There is a crocodile of lust after me and the sharks of anger and enviousness. Please, my Lord, be causelessly merciful. There is no cause that I am not qualified. I cannot give you a good reason why you should pick me up. But please, pick me up because you are the savior of the fallen. No? So this meditation that you are lost, you have fallen away from your master, that should be done. Have you ever heard the wailing of a lost dog? I have heard twice. Once I heard it in the German Autobahn, on the German Autobahn, and once in Bosnia. And in Bosnia it was louder. We were in Germany, we had put our car to rest, and I was in the forest answering nature's call, and all of a sudden I heard the wailing of the dog. Ooh, and the dog came to me. The dog was so... He had a dog collar, and I could understand this was the dog which was set, it was a dog. You know, Germans buy dogs like crazy, and then they don't like them any longer, and they go to the Autobahn station, the rest stop, and they throw the dog out of the car, and then they drive away with the car. And the poor dog is left in the winter to either find a new master or find his death. So I was there, and I heard the wailing of the dog for his master. And I have a compassionate nature sometimes, and I said, my dear dog, I will join you in your wailing. I am also here and lost in the forest, the German forest, and I lost the true forest of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are. Please, you bless me that one day I'm finding my master, or my master finds me, you know. I heard this dog crying for his master. And when we drove with our car, so I was a little kind, I commiserated. Then we drove in our car, and the dog started to run after us, thinking, I'm the new master, but I don't know anything about dogs. We gave him prasadam, and then we continued. Oh, and the dog in Bosnia. How can I ever forget the dog in Bosnia? But that's another story. So Prabhupada Sarasvati said, we should feel like this. Bang, for dramatic emphasis. Yes, this is a point which needs to be illustrated. He says, when you can't... Thank you, human. You're the savior of this microphone for my biting remarks. My dear devotees, when you are in the material world, you are lost. You have lost the real forest, the forest of Vrindavan. You have lost your master and your mistress. And here's a prayer for you. O Queen of the Vrindavan Groves, O Shrimati Radharani, just be merciful to your unfortunate maidservant like me. And then Prabhudananda Sarasvati turns to us. Devotee, become absorbed in this mood, and while performing worldly dealings with humility, turn your face towards Vrindavan and offer repeat obeisances with love and devotion. Let me make it clearer. My dear devotees, some of us have to engage in the world. We go here to this Govardhan retreat to immerse ourselves in the spiritual world. But we will go back to America or to Germany or to Finland or to New Zealand or Australia. And the bottom of planet Earth, I heard, is somewhere Australia. And we will go to the supermarket, we will quarrel with the finance department, and we will pay our fees to the police when we drove faster than it was allowed. There will be worldly dealings. But turn your face with humility towards Vrindavan and offer repeated obeisances with love and devotion. And think in your mind, My desired goal of life is to obtain the wonderful loving service of Sri Radha and Krishna. Oh, when will I give up everything and perpetually live in Vrindavan? If someone makes a declaration like this, then the abode of Vrindavan will certainly protect such a person. When you leave Vrindavan, don't be sad. Turn your face towards Vrindavan each day. You can also take, I used to do for many years, I had a bowl with dust of Vrindavan, and every day I was bowing down and putting my head in the dust of Vrindavan. And I have one assistant who still does it to this day. Every day he has a round, oval-shaped dust decoration on his forehead. And we don't care. The dust falls off his forehead. It goes all over the house where we stay. Gaura Bhavan, no problem. We walk in Vrindavan. The idea of this practice, turning your face or paying your obeisances to Vrindavan, is to become aware of the real things of life. And Vrindavan helps you. Remember, Vrindavan is a place in consciousness. I know of devotees, the moment they leave Vrindavan, they are in Maya. This should not happen. You should... Oh, yeah, I know one Babaji, not an ISKCON devotee. I visited this Babaji in Bonn one day, and then a friend comes in of the Babaji and says, here is the Led Zeppelin record, you wanted to hear it. And the Babaji goes like, Sachinanda Swami is here, why did you bring the Led Zeppelin record? And show him that my process doesn't work. And I looked at the person, some material attachments? No, yes. My dear devotees, turn to Vrindavan. Turn towards the ultimate desire of your life. And Vrindavan, this is a beautiful thing. It's a spiritual entity. Vrindavan will accept you like a mother accepts her wayward child. Vrindavan is real, but not the Vrindavan of your eyes, not the Vrindavan which is mentally interpreted by a paranoid Western mind. We speak of the Vrindavan which has descended here, a Vrindavan which can also descend in your consciousness. And for this, I encourage you, take some dust with you. Take some memories of Vrindavan. Some photos. Some MP3 recordings. Or do this. Offer your obeisances in the direction of Vrindavan. Then you will attain the topmost position in the entire world. A person who develops even the slightest love for the land of Vrindavan is dear to everyone. By giving even a little charity to the living entities of Vrindavan, one automatically attains all of the Lord's opulences and becomes capable of satisfying everyone in the entire universe. My dear devotees, take Vrindavan with you. Implant it in your consciousness. I have told about photos. Sometimes I visit devotees who have good photos of Vrindavan on their walls. Read about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that will bring you to Vrindavan. Go over your red Govardhan retreat notebook and see through the notes. Cultivate Vrindavan consciousness, because Krishna only comes to Vrindavan. Krishna only Krishna will never leave Vrindavan. If you want to think of Krishna, you must think of Vrindavan, his land. Jiva Goswami makes this this point. Who of you loves to meditate? If I can ever. A few of you. In meditation, in the Bhagavad, you purify your consciousness by first meditatively bringing the sun and the moon and then the fire on your anahata into your heart. Let's make it simple. And from out of this fiery effulgence, you meditate about the different limbs of Lord Vishnu. This is in the 11th canto, a meditation. But you don't do this when you think of Krishna, only of Vishnu. Because the fire will burn Krishna's soft body. It's an offense to meditate with this fire meditation about Krishna. Just like in the summertime, you will give Krishna, you can put him into a swimming pool in deity worship to cool his body. This is done in Vrindavan, a cooling bath. But in the rainy season, where it's cool and fresh, you cannot offer that service to Krishna by putting him into a bathing tub. If you want to invite Krishna, you can't put fire or water. You have to put Vrindavan into your heart. And we will do this in a moment. You will see. You will have extraordinary results in your Krishna consciousness. So, the next point of Raghunathas Goswami is take shelter of the residence of Braj. But I want to leave a little time for questions. Do you have questions on this point, Braj, which is either physically living in the Dham or mentally living in the Dham? Please ask your question on this point only and not on another point. Janavi has a question. Okay, that's the only question. Mangala has a question. Yes, Janavi, please ask your question.
Maharaj, there's some devotees I was speaking to recently who have never been to Vrindavan, and they've been serving in their temple for about 30 years, serving their deities there. And they said that they don't really feel much desire to come to Vrindavan here because they feel that that would disrupt their service where they are. And I was wondering, is if you're really in Vrindavan in your mind, is there anything which you can only get by coming to this place, or can everything be achieved if it's just in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Have you all understood the question? Is there something which can only be achieved by physically visiting Vrindavan and not by being in your mind in Vrindavan? First of all, those devotees whom you mentioned, 30 devotees, 30 years of service, they will have some attachment to Krishna. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So, Vrindavan is the place of attachment to Radha and Krishna. Everyone is attached. The trees are attached to Krishna, the birds, the dust, the water. So, someone who is his consciousness is admirable. So, this is one thing. And you ask now, is there anything which can be achieved in visiting Vrindavan physically, which can only be achieved and nowhere else? Bhujan Prabhu, what would you say?
Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu said, he said, or they said to him,
they, like the charge, they said, wherever you are is Vrindavan. So as you say, it's, there is a matter of consciousness.
Yeah.
It's easier, in one sense, if you're in the physical place, because everything reminds you of Vrindavan. Everything reminds you of Radha and Krishna here, and there's, it's like that, if you look in that direction, even the Drishtamam Vrindavan, you can, it's like the veil or the thin cloth, and behind the thin cloth you see, there's a, there, you don't see it fully, but the trees and everything else naturally come through. So Vrindavan has that special benefit of making Radha and Krishna, the sweetness, obvious. But if someone dives deeply into some of the other angas of bhakti or even Guru Seva and is fully devoted to that, it would seem that by the mercy of the potent diving in, that they could achieve everything. That's what it would seem to me.
Yeah. In Vrindavan, thank you very much, Purijan Prabhu. I want to second this. In Vrindavan, there is this special potency that it does turn your mind to Krishna, and you get a bhava towards Syama Sundar, a mood towards Syama Sundar. That is something very, very special. But some, if devotees get that mood to serve Krishna exclusively, then they have fulfilled the purpose, or that is so. But I want to now, after I have said this, this was an ISKCON acceptable answer, I will give a provocative answer. I don't like to go to Vrindavan. Every year I feel the culture shock, and it will be too hot, and my delicate feet, and my delicate stomach, and I get diarrhea, and then I have to deal with these loudspeakers, and so on, and therefore I don't like to go. But I will say to the world, I want to do preaching service, so that it's not known that I don't go for other reasons. This is my provocative answer. Oh, it's not a deep meaning. Sometimes we fear Vrindavan because Vrindavan is a challenge to us. We have to deal with what we see and still remain in transcendental consciousness. And we might not like to go to the Holy Dham just because of cultural reservations. I have seen this in many older devotees. They had been in Vrindavan once, and then they stepped out of the taxi and they stepped into a pile of human, the human pile, you know, and they said, I never go here again, you know. That is maybe there, but it's up to the individual to ask himself the question, why do we hesitate? Is it for purely spiritual reasons, or do I cover my material reasons spiritually? That's up to... I want to say there is a great benefit to be had, and my suggestion is, I mean, Prabhupada did make these holy, did make temples and big temples to accommodate big numbers of devotees, because he also felt it is good if we visit the Holy Dham, because especially it will start something in you, especially such a thing like Govardhan retreat, you know, where you only... Or doing a marathon of hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam, in the Holy Dham. It starts something in you. And then you can do mental residence in the Dham much easier. But Janavi, let's be realistic. If you have never been somewhere, how will you think about it? But Vrindavan, I want to say again, when you can be in Vrindavan and not be in Vrindavan. Like I think Prabhupada said, Krishna is not to be found on Loi Bazaar. Yeah. Is it him? Is it a Prabhupada's quotation? Because he saw his Western devotees going to Vrindavan and just chopping. They were not in Vrindavan consciousness and therefore not there. Yes. Can we give the microphone to our... yes, but still the world of MP3, we are living in the virtual world. They will all get angry when your commentary is not there. Who hear this? Yeah. Coming.
Can you hear? In 77, when Prabhupada left Vrindavan, he wanted to go to the West, and we were beginning a tour. He was going to go to London, Gita Nagari, and end up in Hawaii. And when we got to London, he said, you know, because he was very ill, and he said, if I should die here, he said, it is Vaikunthapuri. He said, it is no different than Vrindavan. He said, with the chanting here, he said, it is no different than Vaikunthapuri, so it doesn't matter if I am here, mm-hmm. Vrindavan. But we all know in the end, he went back to Vrindavan. So.
Very good comment. That a comment which says Vrindavan can be everywhere. I remember in the slide a similar comment when Prabhupada was asked in New York in the early days by one American lady, are you here? Are you here with us? The lady meant he was somewhat ethereal, you know. He was, Prabhupada said, no, I'm not here. I'm always in Vrindavan. You know, it meant he is in Vrindavan consciousness or Krishna consciousness. So let us take, now I want to bind it together. I have made one provocative statement and I have made one consoling statement, or whatever statement, where I said you do not need to come to Vrindavan, you can be in Vrindavan consciousness, and then I said, don't deceive yourself, and in the name of service, just touch over your material attachments to the place of your birth. I want to bring the two together. Obviously, the point here of mana shiksha, instruction to the mind, is that you should be in a state of consciousness, my dear mind, in a Vrindavan consciousness where Krishna is the center to be served. It's instructions to the mind. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami spoke these verses in the cultural context. His language was Sanskrit. He didn't address the Danes at that time. Let me say like this. What I want to say, I bring it out wrong. He advised the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to visit the place Vrindavan. But even in the Goswami times, you find instructions in Jiva Goswami's writing. In the old times, you find instructions. You don't absolutely need to live physically in the Dham, but you should live mentally in the Dham. And I believe these are the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Live mentally in the Dham, and it is certainly not required that everyone would live in Vrindavan Dham for the rest of their lives. How could the preaching movement, which Prabhupada organized, go on? It is not practical. And I have heard from many of my older god brothers that they want to make the point, like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wanted to make the point by leaving his body in Gita Nagari, that yes, these spiritual places where Krishna is served are equivalent with Vrindavan. And I know of a few other god brothers who have planned to leave their bodies outside of Vrindavan Dham in the places of their service, to make that point, a point which Srila Prabhupada has often made. But it doesn't take away from Raghunath Das Goswami's point that we should be in Vrindavan consciousness, because remember, our original statement was Prabhupada's statement, Vrindavan is not just a point on the land map, It's a state of the consciousness. And the consciousness you take everywhere and you have everywhere. So, good. What should you do while being in Vrindavan? See, what does Vrindavan mean? What means Vrajavas ultimately? It means really to put Krishna in the service of Krishna to your to the attention. This Govardhan retreat is only called a retreat. It's actually Krishna, it's the Shravanam Kirtan Seva, which we do. We hear about Krishna, we bring our bodies to the programs, we sing about Krishna, we remember Krishna. These foundational principles, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam, that's what we do. That's devotional service, bhakti. Huh? So that is what you should do when you are in Vrindavan. And because you do service, so much practical service outside of Vrindavan, especially you should do Shravan, Kirtan, and Smaran here. This is the place to do this, to recharge yourself, and so on. I want to come before Mangala. Please be kind with me. I cannot take your question at this moment because time is running out, and we need to do our, and we want to do our meditation. I would like to bring the next point to your attention. That is, where is it? Here is it. You should develop love for the Brajavasis. Hare Krishna. Just like Vrindavan Dham is transcendental, but it takes a form which our senses can see and with which our senses can interact. The Brajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, are transcendental, but they take a form which our senses can see. And you must be very, very careful with them. They are often testing you whether you have a transcendental vision or not. Very often. Ooh. You must be very, very careful with the Brajavasis. I want to give an example which I have taken from the Krishna Kathamrita magazine. There was once a great acharya, his name was Sugyani, very good jnana, who decided that he would go to Vrindavan for pilgrimage. Now, while Sugyani Acharya was in Vrindavan, he one day decided to knock at the door of a Brijbasi to ask for madukari, for alms. We have heard we should beg Brijbasis for food. That is what so he did it. Now there was a Brijbasi who was just eating a roti. Do you know a roti? Roti is like a chapati, but it takes a stomach of a horse to digest it. Roti is a very robust chapati. I love those Brijbasi rotis. They are made over cow dung flames from very horse grains. Horse means, I want to say, coarse, yes. It's not white flour, it's not like pulver, it's like sand, the flour. And the rotis are like this, and then they put ghee on it, and then you eat it, and you don't want to eat anything else for the rest of your life. It's better than pizza. It's somehow... brunch, but if you can get them still in Mukharai, that village, 4 kilometers from Radhakund, there you can get rotis when you go for begging. An insider tip. Now this Brajavasi was eating the roti. And Sugyani asked him, Madhukari, Madhukari, I want Madhukari. So the Brijbasi reaches into his mouth, takes the half-chewed roti out, and offers it to Sugyani Acharya, the great teacher from maybe this house. So Sugyani Acharya was aghast. Aghast means shocked. And he got back on the Brajvasi and said, "Don't you know? I'm a Sadhu Vaishnava. How can you offer me your remnants, which you have chewed, and take them out of the mouth? It's very offensive." At that time, all of a sudden, behind the Brajvasi, Krishna appears, smiling, and told Sugyani Acharya, "You should know that all of the residents of Vrindavan are very special. They are my devotees. Take that roti. You're very fortunate." Krishnadas has written a song which we all sing. Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Vasi Jata Jan. Jaya Vrindavana Vasi Jata Jan. He says, all glories, Jaya Jaya Vrindavan Vasi, to all of the residents of Vrindavan. All glories to them. But if you feel these residents are not really appreciating you, like they want money and extra money and extra, extra money and extra, extra, extra money, then I tell you one secret, which when there are some Brijbasis who totally challenge your faith that they are very dear devotees, you just fold your hands and you go with your eyes on the ground and you say Radhe, Radhe, crying very plaintively, "At the moment I don't have the vision, please." Or you can also cry Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You just cry out like this and they will usually leave you alone. Avoid one thing: when the Brijbasis have their testing mood, never ever look into their eyes. Always look past their eyes and on the ground. That is the acceptable way how to deal. And they understand this language. We have heard some Brijbasi customs today. And never do the mistake to make your German or American jokes with Brijbasis. They function on another level. And they will come down on a material level and you will be in trouble. Either immediately or after some time. It's a rule. Never deal materially with them. Just always Krishna, Krishna. And when they are difficult, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, it's a test. Never ever do the mistake to beat a Brijbasi or verbally abuse him. You will have difficulties which will go over years. Krishna does not tolerate this. One of my godbrother had to suffer a terrible divorce, the loss of all his money, the loss of his health, just because he beat a rickshaw driver who wanted more money than it was agreed upon at the initial stage of the journey. Never ever do this. There are many instructions how to deal with the Brijbasis. I will give you from Shastra. I have gone through Shastra and I have collected five for you. Never be proud and don't offend them and hurt them. A little while ago, devotees have done prasada distribution in Radhakund. And I told the devotees who had asked me for an advice, don't deal with the people as beggars and show that you are now so elevated and you are in the position to give them food. No, see them as great souls, akinshan, who have given up everything, who are here as a result of special mercy and a long evolutionary journey. Deal with them like this, and you will see unimaginable results coming in your way. They will respond to you differently. So never be proud. Don't offend them. Don't hurt them. In the opposite, offer them help so that they can nicely reside in Vrindavan, if you can and if you want. Beg food from them, like you beg food from a great Vaishnavas. Ask them to show you the holy places. And if you have won their faith, ask them to talk about Krishna. Some love will come. The love in their heart will come in your heart. At the same time, don't be too familiar with them. They are on a different level. The Bridge Parsis all will worship Krishna as a child. Gauranga Mahaprabhu has given other rasas as well. So they have a different form of bhakti. For instance, I asked once a Bridge Parsi, to whom do you pray? And he said, to Durga. I said, you're in Vrindavan, you don't pray to Krishna? Krishna is a child, what can he do for me? Like we heard this morning, when Uddhava said to Nanda Maharaj, he is your son is Bhagavan. Yesterday, Nanda Maharaj said, how can you say, I thought you were wise, how can you say? Bhagavan always satyam, speaks the truth, but Krishna sometimes lies. And he cries when he doesn't get his mother's milk, he's a child. But with great love, he said it. So the Braj Parsis feel like this. I want to tell you how much the Braj Parsis love Krishna from a mistake which I made. I was on Govardhan Parikram this year and I offered a light to Giriraj. And then I put the light, it was on a Givik. I had to put the light down and continue my Parikrama. Put the light down. And I looked around and there was dry grass. And I thought, if I put it on the grass, this light, then the grass will catch fire and it will be hot for Giriraj and a catastrophe will happen. So I need to put him somewhere where the light, where the fire can't spread. And I put him on a Shila, which was there, the light. And I already felt very bad. This was wrong. But if I put the light on the... You know, it was only a givik. Actually, the whole story is a sadhu had come by and offered me a givik to offer to Giriraj. So I had... And it was only a givik, nothing else. And I asked the sadhu, where should I put it? He said... So I first wanted to put it on the ground, but there was dry straw and it would have... Or, you know, this dry grass. And it would have caught fire. So I put him on a Shila. And there was a girl. This girl looked very disturbed, a Bridge Parsi girl. So I went back to where I was staying, and the sadhu continued the journey. The next evening, it was night, I meet the sadhu, and the sadhu was really having blazing eyes like fire. And he said, I've been looking for you, Sachinandan Swami. Yes, I said, did I do something wrong? Something terrible wrong you did. That little Bridge Parsi girl, do you remember? She followed me all around the hill and she gave me the sauce in Hindi, How could you give this light to this Westerner and not instruct him where to place the light? He has put it on Giriraj. Giriraj's soft body was burning. If I would not have been there, Giriraj would have felt inconvenience. Because the girl took, when I was gone, she took sand and threw it on the fire to extinguish, on the light to extinguish it. I just said, thank you, Krishna, for showing me this love which these people have. Why am I, after 40 years, I know that we should worship Giriraj and pay and give him fruits and sweets and worship him like this, but I placed a light on him. I have not understood anything, that it's a person. I could really feel this, but it was done by the Brijbasi girl. She was my guru. That little girl with the eyes, a little beggar girl, very special. They love Krishna very much. Krishna. At the same time, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan Goswami, don't be too intimate. He said, these are Lord Chaitanya's words. Their bhakti is different. They consider Krishna like a child mostly. So, my dear devotees, I want to now take you to an experience, because the last verse, the verse speaks we should respect the Sujanas, the good people who live here, first Brajabasis. Sujanas, these are people from other sampradayas, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who have come here. We should respect the Brahmanas, and we should respect the Diksha mantras and the holy names of the Supreme Lord. I want to talk about that tomorrow, how to respect the Gayatri mantras and the holy names and develop love for these. But now I want to take you to a meditative practice. It will take about 15 minutes and we will be in complete good time. The verse ends with develop love for Radha and Krishna. And we have heard Krishna's instruction. He said to the gopis and to the wives of the Brahmana, you develop love for me by thinking about me. And dhyan, he says, meditating about me. In Manak Shiksha, again and again we hear smara, remember. Remember can also be translate as meditation, and I want to take you through a little exercise. First of all, I request you to take your arms up. Imagine there's someone, a friend behind you, who now takes the palms of your hands and brings them gently back. Now we will say a very nice mantra to Giriraj, a mantra of absolute surrender. Don't let your hands go down. It's very dangerous. Namaste Girirajaya.
Namaste Girirajaya.
Namine. So good. Akke ayashesha klesha nashaya. Paramananda daine. Hands more to the back. It won't work if the hands are not back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the arms have to go really high. You want to really surrender. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With much more heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now very gently, on an outgoing breath, float your arms down on your knees with palms facing the sky. I request you now to turn your attention to your in and outgoing breath. Notice breathing in and notice breathing out. I request you to look a little bit around, not at each other, but towards the Govardhan Hill. You might to turn in that direction for this meditation. Please look at the foliage of the trees. See the very fresh green colors of the leaves. Look at Giriraj looming in the distance. See his enigmatic reddish brown color. For a moment, reflect on your good fortune of being here in the association of devotees who have been hearing about Krishna conscious subjects for a whole week or for the last days. Now I request you to slowly close your eyes and return your full attention to breathing. Explore your own breath. It flows in. It flows out. Just be with your breath. As I will talk now, please follow with your mind the guidance. My dear devotees, in your mind's eye, rise and rise and rise. Leave the universe. you're crossing. So an enormous mass of light which seems to wash you free from all your last memories of the universe. Go further and approach that sacred land of Vrindavan. There's a tree. A wish-fulfilling Kalpa Vriksha tree. It stands on the bank of a wonderful river, the river Jamuna. Under the tree is an effulgent throne made out of the best of jewels. And on that throne there are two personalities. Let us turn our mind's eye onto the first one. See in your mind the two-armed Lord Krishna. He is dark like a monsoon cloud. He is dressed in yellow garments, a dhoti and a scarf. He has a garland of forest flowers. He is crowned with a peacock feather crown. See his face, which is splendid like 10 million moons. His eyes move restlessly from one side to the other. See his cheeks, which are anointed with perspiration so that they glisten like mirrors. And see his earrings, who are like two rising suns on these cheeks. He holds a flute in his left lotus hand. Around his waist is a splendid, graceful belt. And his lotus feet have graceful anklets. See his smile now. This way Krishna stays on a jewel throne under a Kalpa Vriksha tree in Vrindavan's forest. On the Lord's left side, it's to your right side, but on the Lord's left side, there's Shrimati Radhika. She is dressed in blue garments. And she has an effulgence as splendid as molten gold. She also smiles. And with the edge of her garment, she covers her graceful lotus smile. Her, the bird of her eyes dance on the face of her beloved. With her forefinger and thumb, she takes betel nuts and places them in the lotus mouth of her beloved. Around this beautiful scene, there are many of Radha's friends whose age and qualities are like hers. See in your mind eyes how these friends wave chamaras and fans and offer other articles. In your mind's eye, please take a look again and again. You know it's time to go back. And do your service here. Mentally pay your obeisances. Maybe say a prayer for mercy to be allowed to come back, maybe. Slowly, you're leaving this place. You again pass through that big effulgence of light. And you come to planet Earth. Take your hands, the palms of your hands, and rub them. Then place them on your eyes, like palming, and then remove them. And look into the palms of your hands as if you see them for the first time. And now look again to Giriraj. As surprising and blissful as it may sound, you have not left Vrindavan. You are in Vrindavan. Stay where you are, and we will end the session by singing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.